And we think about our day every day as our goal being to teach live and or digitally every clinical technique in swine medicine practice or swine medicine research, and to provide students an opportunity or a place to practice those techniques. And that's since sort of grown from that initial teaching mission into some applied research, some opportunities to do training at a number of different levels. So we work now with veterinary technician students. We work with high school students. We work with practicing veterinarians that are in the field already. So the mission has sort of expanded with teaching at that core.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Get your full value from start to finish with Elanco.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson. I'm the host of the podcast. And joining me in our illustrious podcast studios this week is Dr. Locke Carriker. Dr. Carriker is the Morrill Professor at Iowa State University and the director of the Swine Medicine Education Center. Dr. Carriker, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. If you would, why don't you start with a little bit of an introduction for the audience?
Well, thank you very much for having me on the podcast. I practice swine medicine going on 25 years now. I've been at Iowa State for about 20 of those years, and my primary responsibilities are half teaching and then half applied research and professional practice with swine veterinarians. And so the Swine Medicine Education Center is a big part of that teaching role. We've been in existence since about 2010, and really born out of the recognition that as swine veterinary medicine education advanced, there would be a difficulty for every school to maintain every population of animals that they might need to teach. And so a recognition that people were probably going to need to move regionally for clinical specialties. And so around 2010, we sort of looked around and said, what's our specialty here? And, you know, there are more pigs than people in the state of Iowa. It kind of made sense that we had the resources at hand. And so that's really what got us started and got us off the ground.
That is awesome to hear, because I thought it was my first employer who called you after my first year in practice saying, these kids need more education, Locke. You got to get deeper into this. In all seriousness, Locke, I graduated, you know, just before the Swine Medicine Education Center would have been up and running. Spent time with you and Alex Ramirez at that point and the VD PAM team at Iowa State as a student. But I didn't get to really participate in SMEC because it was still in the brain fart idea at that point. Take us through, what is SMEC? What is the Swine Medicine Education Center?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that history, because SMEC is really kind of the outgrowth of those experiences, right? Even when I was in vet school, I spent some time, I was in vet school at Mississippi State, wanted to do swine work, got a chance to come up to Iowa State and spend some time over the summer. And these opportunities have sort of been available on an ad hoc basis as faculty were willing to make the arrangements and offer them and create the opportunity. But we looked at that and said, you know, what's going to happen when those individual faculty aren't around anymore or aren't interested or can't? Can we formalize it? Can we make it something that's going to stand the test of time? And so that's really how we the focus that we took in trying to get it started. And we think about our day every day as our goal being to teach live and or digitally every clinical technique in swine medicine practice or swine medicine research, and to provide students an opportunity or a place to practice those techniques. And that's since sort of grown from that initial teaching mission into some applied research, some opportunities to do training at a number of different levels. So we work now with veterinary technician students. We work with high school students. We work with practicing veterinarians that are in the field already. So the mission has sort of expanded with teaching at that core.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterosol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
Locke, as you guys have kind of expanded the scope of teaching, has there been any learnings for you that stick out about the, let's just call it the veterinary education that students get before you get them, right? Is it pretty consistent that they have a basic level of understanding when they come to you, or is it all over the place based on their previous experiences that some have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, and you can go to kind of the graduate level of swine medicine quickly, or no, it's pretty consistent. Everybody comes in at the same place.
Well, that's a great question. And the reality is that we find that students are all over the board. The only thing that you have to do faster than teach is learn, right? You got to figure out where people are. You got to kind of meet them where they're at. And so we have formal programs where we bring them in at a specific phase of their curriculum, for example, and we kind of know what background they've been exposed to. But that varies a lot school by school. There are only 5 states to have a veterinary college and greater than 5% of the swine industry. And so there really isn't a motivation or a reason to protect those swine topics earlier in the curriculum at most of the other vet schools. So we have to kind of figure that out when they get here. And then, we sort of have a toolbox of teaching and training activities and things like that. And we'll pick and choose out of that based on where we think they're at and how far we can take them in the time that we have. So that might be a formal course. It might be an informal combination of getting out to farms or farm sites. Might be time in the diagnostic lab. It really sort of depends on what their objective is and what we figure out about their background.
What would you say is the balance, Locke, of your teaching for these students between tactical skills, so things like collecting blood from pigs, taking tissues, doing necropsies, versus problem solving? Things that are not necessarily specific to swine, right? But okay, yeah, you know how to take the samples and you got a bunch of information, but you also have to use it. What's a decent balance that you try to strike between those two things?
You know, it's a balance where we have to make sure we get the tactical tools in place. We're uniquely positioned to do that. And one of the few places that still really offers that, right? Problem solving, fortunately, is still a little bit broader in terms of its representation in most curriculums and things like that. So we just have to kind of contextualize it to swine medicine and bend it to those terms in a way. So we really focus on the tactical first. But quickly, once students get that, then we move forward with the troubleshooting and the thought process, right? And then there is some students where you need a third component, which is just some of the basic factual knowledge that they haven't been exposed to. Although everybody has more access to that than they ever had. It's ubiquitous. It's internet driven. So really, our goal is to help them figure out what to do with that fire hose of factual information that they're going to get exposed to or have access to. You know, make sure they have a thought process for taking a complex problem and making it smaller. One of the things we do is we take students out to farm sites, you know, and we go through the process of, okay, you know, there's 2,000 pigs on this site. How do we get down to the 3 or 4 pigs that might give us a sample or a representation of the problem that's going to be diagnostically valuable, right? And that whole process really isn't represented anywhere else in most curriculums. So we take sort of this nested circle approach that we walk them through. We start big and we work our way down until we find those representative pigs. And then once you get there, sort of more of the traditional vet case process starts, right? What test am I going to use? What's on my rule out list? How do I move things up and down the rule out list? You know, you start to get into a thought process they recognize. But for us, a lot of it is, how do you get to that starting point, really, when you're talking about pigs and pig populations?
How about the post-veterinary graduate folks that have participated in SMEC? What does their program look like? Do most of them have a full-time job they're also doing while they're learning on the side? Is it like 50-50 that, yep, they're working part-time, but they're also learning part-time? Or is it custom and you guys will create a curriculum for each individual based on what they want and need?
Well, we have a really intense belief in our group, and I think this is really department-wide at Iowa State, that if someone shows an interest and shows that they might have a promising basic skill set, that we'll try to make a position to get them where they want to go. Because, you know, swine medicine is a small subset of veterinarians. There are challenges to practicing swine medicine that I think aren't immediately and clearly appear, you know, clearly attractive to people. And so when we see that spark of interest, we're going to try to figure out a way to make it work for them and not just try to plug people into existing programs. Now that said, we have at the Swine Medicine Education Center, we have postdoctoral research associate positions. And basically what we do here is we try to create what we call triple threat advanced swine veterinarians, right? And so they usually enter that program after their DVM. Some come back out of the workforce, but it's a salary position. It's paid full time. And they learn how to formally teach. So they learn all the background and all the how to conduct teaching in a modern environment. They do advanced practice, so they get referral cases in from the field and work on those. And then they have to do some research for their graduate degree. Most of them pick up a master's and a PhD, which is also funded as part of the position. And so when they leave that position, they've accelerated their career from what we see about 5 to 6 years. And so there's a good ROI on that investment. But that would be a formal program. And then occasionally it's as simple as, hey, I need to get tuned up on this topic that's becoming a reoccurring problem that I work with. What are the resources you have? And so we might hit them with a combination of, we have pre-recorded videos, we have, study guides, we have things like that we could help with. Or sometimes it's finding somebody else that has a better position to help them too, realistically.
It sounds like you've got some good materials for a wide range of audiences, from kind of the traditional students that are still learning to everything past that. If somebody's interested in getting involved, Locke, what's the best way for them to find more information or get to the point where they can ask somebody questions about the program?
So we would like to be the first resource people think about when it comes to learning anything in swine medicine, right? And so we take that seriously in the sense that we feel like that means we've got to learn that stuff when we don't know it. And we have to take a service approach. So we really want people to reach out to us, even if they don't think what they're interested in is related to what they've seen us do or they think we normally do. So just encourage people to reach out and have that conversation. So the best way is they can email us. So they can do that at isusmec@iastate.edu, or they can email me. I'm pretty easy to find. I'm just about the only character at Iowa State. So I'm happy to channel those contacts where they need to go and try to help people find. We have a website that they can find pretty easy. Just Google SMEC and swine and it'll pop up. But we really look forward to those inquiries, because we do what we do because we think we've found a need for it. But there might be other things that there's a need for that we just haven't been made aware of.
Yeah, there's certainly a need for it, Locke. And on behalf of really everybody in the industry, appreciate everything you and your group is doing to try and help develop the next generation of swine health professionals.
Thank you very much. We enjoy what we do. We're passionate about swine medicine, and we're passionate about being useful and helping people learn.
Those are good things. Locke, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And to our audience, thank you very much for joining us on the Swine Health Black Belt podcast. If you haven't checked out our website, please go check that out and subscribe to the podcast. For Dr. Locke Carricker, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. Thanks for joining us, and please have a great rest of your day.